Hello and welcome to another episode of the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly. And before we get started on this episode, I want to tell you about a couple of events that are coming up that I think you'll really enjoy. First of all, we're going to be having a Cultivate gathering. If you have questions, if you want more information, if you want to get connected, I will be there, Kyle will be there, Terry will be there. We're going to be at Forest Ridge Calvary Chapel, and that's in Austin, Texas. It's Saturday, May 18th. You can register and find out more information at forestridgecalvary.com. Secondly, would you like to be equipped and inspired? Does learning and collaborating amongst fellow Christians sound encouraging and refreshing? Then you should come to the CGN Calvary Chapel International Conference. It's June 23rd to the 26th at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. You can register online at conference.calvarychapel.com. This year's theme is Hope, Suffering, and Glory, Studies in 1 Peter. We're going to have 9 speakers addressing topics taken from 1 Peter, June 23rd to 26th. Register at conference.calvarychapel.com. All right, let's get into this week's episode. God bless. Okay, welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm here with my good friend, Justin Thomas. And Justin is here to talk about Calvary Chapel Bible College, and also to talk about the importance of biblical training, biblical education in the lives of pastors, church leaders, but specifically when it comes to church planting and starting off on the right foot. So Justin is here. So welcome, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Justin came to my neck of the woods here in Florida. And, you know, Florida's a nice place. It's a nice place.
Before noon.
He preached at the church here, and great service. So I said, hey, can we do a podcast and talk about the Bible College? And something that our listeners may or may not know is that I was a graduate of Calvary Chapel Bible College. And I was at school there in 1997. You know, I'm going to be, this month, I'm going to be 46.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Justin?
I just turned 40 this year. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm older than you.
Yep.
That means I'm smarter than you. He's like, yeah.
That's why we give diplomas at birthdays.
Oh, that's funny. At least funny to me. But yeah, I was a Bible college student, and that's where I met my wife. And I was mentioning this to our church this morning that, of the kind of the ministry leadership here, a lot of us are graduates or former attendants of, the Bible College, Calvary Chapel Bible College, both at Twin Peaks in the early days and also in Marietta where it formerly was. Now they've moved back up to Twin Peaks. That's in California, the San Bernardino Mountains. So to get started, why don't you just talk a little bit about the Bible College, what you're up to, give us some maybe news updates, what's
sure.
going on?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the school is rapidly approaching its 50th anniversary. It was started in 1975, and it's changed a lot over the last 50 years. It was originally Calvary Chapel Bible School. And from some of the attendees from those early years I've talked to, there was live teaching, there was teaching on tape, there was a good deal of worship and prayer, but there was no structure, organization, curriculum plan, or anything. And over time, it's grown and changed, but at the same time, there's this DNA that runs all the way through it, all the way back to the beginning. And so the way that we articulate it now is that we're trying to provide a biblical foundation for every calling. You know, we have no confusion about the type of school we are. We're not a Christian university. We never will be. That's not what we're after. We are trying to be Calvary Chapel Bible College, and every one of those four words carries the weight and the freight that it should. And so, we're back at our home campus in Twin Peaks. It's been really neat to return there. It's very different than Marietta. I was a Marietta student, close beach access in Southern California versus a mile up a mountain. They're very different types of beauty. They're very different settings that have their own pros and cons. but the spiritual heritage and history of the Twin mm-hmm. Peaks campus, not just for the Bible College years, but for the conference center. Like Marietta, this is a place where many people in Calvary Chapel have encountered the Lord and been ministered to by their peers and those types of things. And I'm not the most experientially oriented spiritual person, but there's still a sense of it when you're on campus, mm-hmm. Almost a tangibility. And so that's really neat. While we have gotten back up the mountain, we're also halfway through the process of accrediting with the Association for Biblical Higher Education, which is literally Bible college accreditation. Like, all of the schools that are a part of ABHE identify as Bible colleges. Many of them are smaller than us. Some are, you know, tens of thousands of students, Christian universities now, but their identity is ABHE. And so it's great to have a group that understands who we are, where we can learn from like-minded schools, and where we can, you know, make a way for students, wherever they're headed, to pass through Bible college without a detour or a delay and get that biblical foundation and head on to their computer science program or whatever they're going to do.
What's the difference between an accredited Bible college? Because Calvary Chapel Bible College has not been accredited mm-hmm. up to this point. It's been 50 years, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between that accredited school and a non-accredited school, and why would you go through this process?
Yeah. I mean, the most important thing is an accrediting organization is a collective agreement of what your degree, what your credits, what the weight and even the end game and goals of your school is. And so that means that there's a heavy transferability of credits, both in parallel schools offering the same degrees, as well as moving on to advanced degrees. And because ABHE is recognized by CHEA, the Christian Higher Education Association, this also opens up...
Sorry for laughing. I just thought of Chia because it's Chia Pet.
Sure. You know, it's also, there's
also... You should get one of those, like, with a little Bible college, and then you can grow the sprouts out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's smarter now?
It's good. You should email them. I'm sure they've never heard it before. But anyways, CHEA is recognized by the United States government as well. And so even with secular schools, there's the possibility
to transfer credits
to move here. But since we're not working with, a regional accreditor, just the normal public school system accreditor, again, this is about our identity as a Christian Bible college. In fact, I've been pleasantly surprised to find out that ABHE doesn't have a lot in terms of things they're asking us to do. What they really want is us to tell them what we're doing and then show them, prove that we're doing it, and then prove that it works. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually a wide diversity of how schools do things, and we haven't changed things as much as we have improved them. And I think I can say that with confidence. The other thing I didn't understand about accreditation until this year is they're really interested in the whole school as an institution, not just what happens in the classroom. And so we've grown in our student services. We've grown in our board management. You know, they really look at every level. And so in terms of providing a support system with 100+ years of good ideas and proven ideas, and then kind of industry standards, but not the education complex industry standards, but Bible college, especially in America and North America, those standards have been so helpful. And so I'm very proud of how the school has done in the process. In fact, this week we'll stand before ABHE for the next phase in the process.
Nice. The criticism is, and this is kind of what I've just heard secondhand, I've not been super involved in this. That's why I mm-hmm. guess I'm asking you, but, if you start to do accreditation, because that's what I had heard as a student way back and just mm-hmm. kind of along the lines, that you're going to have to compromise in one way or another of what God wants the school to be, because you have to kind of like do what the accreditors want you to do, and therefore you have to compromise if God wants you to do something. What's up with that?
Which is so Calvary Chapel, right? we really value freedom. The ability to follow the Lord,
the Spirit, and
we mean that in the most individual sense, for that person versus that person. And I think you know, Chuck's concerns about secular control over Christian education is absolutely right. And we've only seen the struggle and the significance of that grow over the last few decades. But what we have with ABHE is not that. And okay. I, you know, like I said, ABHE has been around for more than 100 years. I don't think Chuck knew something like this existed. And I don't want to speak for him, but it's different than where his concerns, at least as they were articulated,
right. That makes sense.
Were expressed, you know.
I wish more people could know that because, you know, in talking to you and seeing the Bible College, not just back in my day, but also my daughter went to CCBC. She met her husband there, Julia and Gavin. They're here working with us in ministry. Love the Lord. My son Judah was there. He's on the mission field, full-time missionary, and so just seeing the benefits and the fruit of it. And then I hear critics like, "Oh, it's not what it used to be. It's not biblical anymore. It's like compromised. They're trying to do accreditation." I hear all this stuff, and I'm thinking, "Man, I wish I could just get Justin here so he could kind of clear that sort of stuff up." And it's so refreshing to hear, like, "Man, it's more biblical than ever. It's more spirit-led than ever." And now on top of that, the added bonus is the accreditation that's going to open a lot more doors.
Yeah, that's right. And it's worth pointing out, you know, like I said, the school has changed a lot over its 50-year history. And I don't want to talk as if those changes aren't real, even the ones that have happened in the last 10 years. And some of them are accreditation related. And so over the course of that whole 50-year history, the school has become more and more academic. Like I mentioned, when it started, it was Calvary Chapel Bible School. And when they took the name college, that was an intentional move towards being something different, something a little bit more organized with a program and these types of things. And our program is still very recognizable to the one that you took, to the one that I took when I was a student. We do have some general education classes. And so, yeah, we are doing things like math and English. But being able to do those from a Christian perspective with heavy Bible interaction and integration, I think that fits the mission of what we're trying to do. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk the last 30 years about the struggle the American church has with the sacred secular divide. Mm-hmm. And the idea here isn't that we would move towards becoming a secular institution with a Christian heritage. We can be a Christian institution that breaks down that wall and helps people live out their lives to the glory of God. And so even in our math classes, which, by the way, are rare, we don't always offer them, and it's a small portion. The idea is that somebody could go, "Oh my gosh, I could pursue math or physics or science and use this to honor God and as my own mission field." That's the heart behind even those courses. And so I will say, though, we are struggling with, you know, there are those who just want to learn the Bible. And for me, there's no juxtaposition between that and education. Learn is an education word, formal, informal, it doesn't matter. But there are some who want to do that without the constraints or challenges of higher education. And I totally understand that. I think it's one of the greatest features of what Calvary Chapel brought to the American church was, you know, as Chuck always said it, that God doesn't call the trained. Mm-hmm. He trains the called.
Yeah.
But I believe in that training, and that's how I see this school. But there is that tension. We can't be two things. We can't be a school of ministry with low academic standards and a college with high. And and we're trying to figure those things out. But there are other programs available for those things.
And you guys also have non-degreed programs too.
Sure. Like, but even there, like I said, they're in the same classes. Okay. They have the same homework. Yeah. The pressure may be different, but it's hard to do both. And so our approach has been to provide as much support as possible to these students so that they can learn at this level. And I don't think it's a regrettable level. I think the tools of education are beneficial in discipleship. It's a pretty simple thing for me. Not necessary, That's a totally different conversation,
yeah.
But beneficial, absolutely. And so what I will say, and I was wondering what I would find at CCBC when I got there. I hadn't been a student there for 20 years, and I hadn't been a faculty member since COVID. And my first semester there, I went, oh, these students are just like I was. Mm-hmm. They're here for the same reasons. They're going out and doing the same things mm-hmm. that my, you know, my class went out and did. And I mean, you mentioned how many of your leaders went through that Bible college. I get the opportunity to sit in churches all over the country. The story is the same,
yeah.
You know?
Well, we talked about you doing a podcast actually of, you know, former Bible college students and what they're doing and how it's impacted them. I think it'd be really interesting.
If you stop and pay attention, it's actually already pretty visible. You know, at the CGN conference last summer, 75% of the main stage speakers were CCBC grads. Mm-hmm. We did a lunch for alumni, and 25% of the conference attendees came out for lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, it is one of Calvary Chapel's most effective and demonstrably central institutions. Mm-hmm. Well, and if we're going to use the word institution, maybe it's the only one.
yeah, good point. And let's turn corners here a little bit and talk about church planting, because mm-hmm. the real purpose for Bible college, for this education, there's personal growth involved, mm-hmm. obviously, that it's like I heard you say at another time, it's a pivot point in a lot of people's lives when they're at Bible college. My life, your life, you had mentioned yep. to me. And but we're talking specifically here on this podcast about church planting
yep.
and the need for how should I put this? The need for pastors to know the Bible.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of funny we even have to say that, but as you and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners too, there's a lot of pastors out there who don't know the Bible.
Yeah. And let's be really clear here. This is not merely a Calvary Chapel problem or even a non-denominational right. problem. Like, we might get this right more than others in reality. And I will say personally that even going through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation with Chuck, which was a relatively simple thing and not something I always loved.
Tracks. We called it Chuck Tapes back in the day. That's when I went.
Yeah.
Chuck Tapes. Yeah. Then we got CDs, compact discs.
Yeah. And then to MP3 and the whole thing. Yeah. You can't speed up a tape, but you can an MP3. Many students have told me. Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get the special tape players.
Yeah.
You can do speed and a half. Like with Chuck, you could do speed and a half, but when you started to hit 2x speed, you started to lose a little bit.
The hard part was the long pauses. You know, you fall asleep like in one of those, and then suddenly now, you know, and you're just jarred awake. But as simple as it was, and, you know, Chuck is a great teacher, but just one person, and it's an entire Bible. So, you know, he wasn't the best on every passage, and there were quite a few things that he would just breeze over.
How dare you?
Yeah, yeah. There were quite a few things he would just breeze over. He'd just read, not make a content and comment and move on. But to have one understanding, maybe not your final understanding, maybe not even the best understanding of the entire scriptures, was so significant for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And even as my peers and the people right behind me went through kind of these waves of theology and opinion that roll through churches like the Young Restless and Reformed movement mm-hmm. and things like this. Almost always I'd be talking with people and they're captivated by one verse. Mm-hmm. And because of Chuck and because of CCBC, I'd say, but what about Jeremiah? But what about what's going on over here? Yeah. You know,
A whole balanced view. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole Christian.
Yeah. And maybe even more so a whole pastor, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's vital. And again, we can do this in formal and non-formal ways. And truth be told, some people are wired for personal study in a way that others aren't. And so for me, Bible college was valuable, but it was a foundation that led to years of continuous learning, study, investing in these types of things. You know, I've been involved with CCBC since I was a student in one form or another, whether in Seattle or some of the other schools. But I haven't gone back to school and didn't until COVID. And so so I am education oriented, but I'm not a higher education guy. That's not really where I come from. But other people need the support and the community. And everybody needs the habits, and especially because, I mean, Calvary Chapel is great proof of this. God calls whoever he wants out of whatever he wants to call them. Having that foundation of just developing habits of studying the Word of God in community, of learning how to hear God's voice and apply it in life and in life contexts, that time is vital. And I remember Nick Long told me that when he became a Christian, he'd only read one book, and it was Green Eggs and Ham. And I think it's 2 years after he becomes a Christian that he leaves for Germany. But in between that is all of the great gifts that Calvary Chapel gives to people who are pursuing ministry. So he went out not just knowing the Word, but knowing how to read and to study the Word. Yeah. And the Bible College, I think, sometimes is just an intensive form of discipleship. Yeah. That's what it is.
So in talking about pastors going out to plant churches or to be pastors of churches, I had mentioned there's a lot of pastors out there who don't know the Scriptures, who don't know the Word. They may have a good charismatic presence. They may have, you know, a teaching or preaching ability, very good communicators. But I think one of the big issues we see is the lack of depth, not only of the sermon, but also of the understanding of the pastor themselves. So how can a place like Calvary Chapel Bible College benefit that? And on the flip side, I know people are always like, oh, look at the first disciples. They didn't go to Bible college.
They did,
well,
though.
If you spent 3 years with Jesus, then you're exempt.
Yeah. 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 And again, when we're talking about education, there's formal, there's informal, there's another word, non-formal. They all mean different things. The truth is everybody needs to learn, and there's a multitude of ways to do so. And going on the road with Jesus for 3 years and having hands-on experience. And again, some of these things are baked into Calvary Chapel's history. We've always tried to be practical, to be hands-on, to provide service opportunities, to stay connected with local churches so that we're not just some ivory tower education experience that's disconnected from what God's actually doing in the world, all those things. And I think it's important here to recognize it might be wrong to think about pastors who don't know the Bible and those who do, as if it's just a binary of two different groups. Because I think what's more important is that pastors need to be lifelong learners, you know, and we see this right in the New Testament. Study to show yourself approved, a worker that needs no admonition, you know, or I like in 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy that he is to the reading, the exhortation of Scripture, the teaching. He's to devote himself to those so that his progress will be evident to all.
Yeah,
and so that means
a
church should be able to look at their pastor and go, okay, he is learning more about the Scriptures. He knows God better than he did before. He's more practiced in, you know, the toolkit that comes with pastoral ministry. And I think the real danger here is not the inequipped who end out in the mission field. It's the stagnation that says this is enough.
Wow.
Who is sufficient for these things?
Yeah,
you know,
but that
God
hits
makes
us all.
Sufficient.
That's not
yeah.
like, it's not like I can sit back and say, I went to Bible college, so I'm educated. It's those other guys that are, they don't know the Bible. It's stagnation.
Yeah. And so it's really about, like I said, you know, the language that higher education likes to use is lifelong learners. That's what's most important. And I actually think when you're in the thick of ministry, it's harder to hold that commitment because you always have a reason not to sit down.
Yeah.
You always have, it's like Tolkien's story, Leif by Niggl, where he's working on this work of art that he basically has a calling to complete, but his neighbor Parrish keeps knocking on the door and interrupting it. You know, I think any pastor will resonate with how fragile their current study time is, you know, and we can imagine very easily the other type of pastor who lives in their study, doesn't know their people, you know, there's a failure in that direction as well. But it doesn't change the ambition, the aspiration that we should all have to grow in the Scriptures so that we can share what the Lord is teaching us with. You know, the metaphor I always think of is fresh bread. You know, you've seen me teach. One of the reasons why I don't rely on notes is because I want prepared to order. teaching. I want to be able to discern where the audience is. I want to leave it open to the learning of the Spirit. And God has given me a memory that makes that possible. And so I want to take advantage of that gift.
I noticed that you still had the points of the passage and communicated the principles that you had planned and studied, but no notes. Impressive.
Yeah. And again, people are given different gifts, and I am always amazed by teachers who have incredible obstacles. I know of pastors who are dyslexic, and so Bible study for them is a massive ordeal. Mm-hmm. And that level of commitment is so honoring to the Lord. Yeah. But also, I think God uniquely gifts people. And, you know, I probably won't have this memory forever. And I have to tell you, the scariest idea in my mind is that I'm going to discover that in the midst of a sermon. Like, oh, I guess I should have hung my hat up yesterday.
And point number three was...
But for now...
I have notes, and that still happens to me.
Yeah, totally. For now, though, it gives me the freedom to do something else that I couldn't do. And when I started, I did notes a lot, and I was obsessive, you know, trying to get the outline memorable and organized and all of those things. And I had to realize that notes aren't a sermon. And another thing is, unless you get really comfortable with your note style, it can become the window through which you try and communicate with the audience. And so it goes from you to your notes out to the audience. Yeah. Now, lots of people can go from their notes into them and out to the audience. There's no distraction there, but there's always the danger of this becoming an obstacle between you and the people you're trying to teach.
Yeah, that happens. That happens to me. I don't like that. And I depend on my notes. I actually, having said that, we do a Church on the Beach service, and it's usually too windy, or I can't bring an iPad out there. It overheats. Right. It's hot here in Florida. And, you know, I used to watch John Corson a lot, where he would just get up there on the stool, open the Bible, and just start teaching. And he was incredibly gifted at, you know, those clever little, you know, sermon tactics where everything's got the same letter and all this.
Alliteration, sure.
Yeah, all that. And without the notes there. And so I started doing that, where I just opened it up and started teaching. And a lot of it is you pre-study, so you have it.
And that's the thing. I think a good teacher has a variety of tools, and they know the well-worn one that's always reliable, and it's the one they're going to use most. Yeah. But you should always be flexible. And so when I teach long format in a classroom, 3-hour lecture, I have notes. Of course I do, because I have an agenda. And although I have pretty good control of time, I can't control 3 hours. I will get eaten alive just like anyone else. And so notes are helpful in that setting, but it's a different setting. And I worry about any teacher who doesn't have at least one story where things didn't go their way and they just had to trust the Lord and step out. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if, you know, it's a move towards formality or informality. Uh-huh. You know, if I've got to put on a suit someday to do what God's called me to for the day, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be uncomfortable the whole way through. But that's... you know, it's Chuck again. We got to be flexible.
Yeah. Blessed are the flexible, shall not be broken. All right. Here's a question for you. And we talked a little bit before we started recording here. Justin asked me how old I was when we went to Uganda. We were missionaries in Uganda for 10 years. We went over with a church planting team. I wasn't the main pastor of that particular team, although I did become the senior pastor very quickly after we started the church and the Bible College, Calvary Chapel Bible College Extension, that's still there. But how old, he said, how old were you when you went over there? I said, I think 23. I was 23. Lynn was 22. I became pastor when I was 24, and it wasn't planned that way. It just happened. And then we talked a little bit about preparation. Like, would it have been better to take some time before you went right out at 23, for example, if you took another year of missions training, took another maybe 6 months of Bible college classes specifically designed to help you in that context, rather than just going out? And obviously we look back and say, well, the way we did it worked. That was the way we should have done it. But why don't you talk about that? Because I know a lot of listeners are going to be out there who are looking to plant churches. They're eager to get started in the Cultivate program. We have a lot of guys.
Yeah.
We take them through assessment, and a lot of guys were saying, hey, you know, you're ready, you've got the understanding, you've got the team, et cetera. But some of them are just, they need a little bit more. They need that training. They need maybe the biblical, the systematic theology.
Right.
What's your advice as far as someone like that? Do they go to school for a year or two at Calvary Bible College or on online course or something?
Yeah, I think the danger in these situations is trying to make one path normative. You know, we've got Moses, who shows up 40 years too early and has already had a solid education, right? You know, and so sometimes there is a difference between called and sent. And there is more preparation, whether, again, formal or informal, that the Lord wants to do. But there are other times where God's like, I'm going to put you in something that's too big for you, and I'll grow you there.
And that happened with us.
And that's what happened with me as well, you know. And although I'm grateful for the things God did, and I don't really carry a lot of baggage about how my unpreparedness, and to a large degree, even my immaturity, may have hurt people, because I think that's part of the way that the Lord works. And I was where he knew I'd be when I was there, and that was enough. But I think what's more important here is having a Christian community that you can rely on that can speak into this. And so if people are giving you counsel that you need to pursue preparation, whether generally or in a specific area, I think that's something that should be heeded. And I'll tell you what, you know, during COVID, I took advantage to go back to school at the master's level. And I'm so grateful for doing seminary 10 years into ministry. Frankly, it would have been wasted on me if I had gone straight in. I didn't have the hunger or the right questions. Mm-hmm. And I was way too arrogant to have learned as much as I did. And I actually think in most cases, that's a better order. I think you need the hands-on experience first. And, you know, I think even if you take Tim Keller as a model, he did pastoral ministry in Pennsylvania for 10 years. Then he got involved at Westminster and was on staff at that seminary for about as long. And then he planted in New York. And, you know, reading his life through my own, I think that pastoral ministry gave him the questions. And then the seminary time of teaching at that seminary gave him the time to explore those questions and find answers. And by the time he got to New York, he had thoughtful, right answers to the right questions. And I think there's a low grade version of that that's really valuable and has been really beneficial to me. And Bible College is designed for people fresh out of high school, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it ever to be mistaken for a seminary. I think it does lay that biblical foundation, but we're not giving you everything you need for pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. And especially now that we're in Twin Peaks, we're disconnecting you from the local church. And I believe churches should plant churches. I think that's the best way.
Yeah.
Me
too.
God can use Balaam's donkey. That's not justification
that
for making pastors out of donkeys.
Farm.
Yeah, totally. and so I think a better way to do this is for churches to do it. And so when Bible College can be part of that church training community, before, during, after, it doesn't matter. I think that's better than just an isolated 2-year intensive, and then you just hit the road. You know, but again, I think one of the things that our movement is growing in is understanding that the relational emphasis that we've always had applies to pastors too.
Yeah.
I think we create these loving communities, but I think we hover above them, and not necessarily above them in some sort of arrogant way. I just don't think we're always well equipped to realize how to be receiving in that community. And we just need that. And Calvary grew so quickly. Everybody ended up isolated because we spread across the world so fast. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I don't regret any of those things, but I think we have an opportunity to reflect on the last 50 years and do something even better.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you coming on the show. You're going to be speaking at the upcoming Pastors Conference in Costa Mesa, California.
Yeah, in June.
In June. And if anybody's in the area that would like to talk with Justin, learn more about the Bible College, you can hit him up there. You can also go to CalvaryChapelBibleCollege.org. Com or org?
Now you got me on the spotlight. I'm pretty sure it's org too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can
just
email me. It's J Tom or Justin Thomas. No, it's none of those things. It's been a long day, Brian. It's J Thomas at ccbc.info. People can just reach me that way. Or, you know, I have an Instagram account that my wife runs. Uh-huh. She does a good job, but when people want to talk to me, she lets me know.
She does a very good job. I like the, she's like, a graphic software or something to do all the cool little. Yeah, she's artistic.
She's good at, well, she's good in this realm. She has two money making websites.
CalvaryChapelBibleCollege.com.
It is com.
My bad. Okay.
Yeah.
You probably have .org too, I would imagine, but
yeah, it's hard to keep track of. CCBC is a pretty broadly used acronym, so there's a lot of web competition out there. We had to take what was given to us.
But you also have an Instagram account that's really updated regularly. Go out and follow that. I'll put all this in the show notes too, so people can get connected.
Yeah, and so. we have a bunch of really exciting announcements rolling out this year. Fall 2024 is the beginning of a lot of things we've been working on for a while. A brand new online program with fresh, high quality video.
Nice.
The School of Worship, which was at Costa Mesa for 2 decades, has partnered with us to do a new 1 year certificate in biblical worship.
Wow, that's great.
We've made some adjustments to our associates and our bachelors to make them stronger programs. So we've got a lot going on, and we're going to be talking about it a lot in the next few months.
Very cool. Thanks again, man, for being on the show, and look forward to seeing what God does with CCBC.
Yeah, if it's anything like the last 50 years, it's going to be exciting.
Amen. Amen. All right. God bless.
All right.